the All Elite wrap-up for May 2nd, 2024. I am Tim. That's Tom over there. I would go into a bit of a diatribe about who we are at the All Elite wrap-up and what we do, but we feel like the name kind of gives it away, and we at the All Elite wrap-up think that you, the audience, are quite frankly tired of having your intelligence insulted, if I can steal a quote from a wrestling pioneer. Tom... we don't need to talk about that guy. We're here to talk about All Elite Wrestling, and we had a fun Dynamite last night, if I can jump the gun on our analyses. But we're going to get into all of that, of course, and some other things as we talk to you, Tom, and we talk to the fans. We've got some in the chat already. If you're catching us live, join in the chat. Talk to us about what you thought about AEW, because we want to hear about it. These folks in the chat already will join in, of course. And you can always hit us up, aewrapup@gmail.com. with anything. Type it out, send us an audio, send us a video clip, and we might play it here and discuss it on the show. We've got one of those as well. But Tom, what's new with you, man?
Hey, I got my new shirt from Suplex. It's the Harley Race. Fun fact about the shirt, the room that he's sitting in is my office at Memorial Hall. So he wrestled for Central States Wrestling. He owned it as well. They wrestled out of Memorial Hall. Did some digging around, tried to find the actual photo, was able to find it. Did a little, you know, this looks like that. And yeah, this is my office, Harley Race, with the 10 pounds of gold, the NWA heavyweight champion right there, Harley Race. So you can pick this shirt up at Suplex. You can also pick up a number of other shirts from Suplex. They just released their spring line. So check all that stuff out. And
I got a plan too. If you get one, and since you know it's Tom's office, you send it to Tom along with a crisp $100 bill. Tom will sign it and then mail that shirt back to you.
Maybe. Yeah, that would definitely
Maybe.
Could happen.
He might. Right. He might.
I mean, the 100 for sure, but then after that, you know.
Yeah, God, Tom might knows. Mail it back to you and sign it. Right.
Yeah, I might. But you had mentioned it was a Dynamite episode. It was also, we got an extra hour of Rampage. And for those that are kind of living it fast and loose with their daily schedules, programming note, there is no Collision this Saturday. So do not look out for a Collision this coming Saturday. But there will be the following week, plus another Rampage. So they're doing another 3 hour, 2 hours of Collision, then 1 hour of Rampage. So yeah, I think everything, you know, was pretty fun last night. I really thought the main event, because, you know, two shows, but let's be honest, it's one show, was amazing. Excited to talk about that. So yeah, but I know, as you had mentioned, we got some voicemails in the AEW voice machine box.
We do.
And so I want to hear that.
And yeah, I touched on it, right? AEWrapup@gmail.com. Send us any kind of email. Type it out. Send us an audio clip, a video clip. We'll work something out. And if you got an intelligent, exciting topic we want to talk about, it doesn't even have to be intelligent. We'll talk about it, right? Because we want to know what you're talking about. It doesn't have to be AEW either, right? We can get to some other things. We are well-versed in pro wrestling and other things, right? As you may hear about occasionally from our senior European correspondent, Ash, who is here with us tonight in the chat. He says, T-Mac, no press conference for 301. I'm not sure of the reference. You might get something that I'm...
Oh, no. It, UFC 301. It's that card. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, it's fine.
He also says correspondent in the building, and that's awesome. We also have Andrew Openshaw in the chat. He says excited to finally make it back for a live show. We're excited to have you.
Hell yeah.
He says AEW is really cooking since the Continental Classic, but has hit another level since Revolution. Yeah, I think AEW is on fire right now. I'm loving all of it. And Tony Khan hitting the button on being a fucking... just a smarmy, smarky prick in the press about things, right? And kind of tongue in cheek, being like, "Yeah, you know, about everything is great."
Yeah,
I think that's
why
how.
Not?
Yeah, but back to our senior European correspondent. He's sending a clip, almost like clockwork here, and this one's gonna get you tingling, Tom, because it's you're gonna have some exciting homework from this one.
The European correspondent is in the building. What's up? Don't you hate when the audio is not matching up to the TV and to the video? Because that's how I had to watch Dynamite and Rampage this week with the TV, a good, the video, sorry, a good 3 seconds ahead from the audio. fucked my whole day up. That did really piss me off. Anyways, boys, I want you to fantasy book for me. Let's just say that All In has the main event of Swerve Strickland versus Will Ospreay. Book what happens between now until then, based on everything as far as what happened on last night is legitimate. I want you to book it from now till then. And I also want you to book Nigel McGuinness's return to the ring at All In versus Bryan Danielson. All right, boys, have a good week. I'll see you next week, probably. I might see you in the chat this a little bit later on this evening, too. Safe.
Well, you mentioned fantasy booking, and you got Tom's interlude. He's already furiously taking down some ideas and probably a mind map, if you will, right? He's probably got his thought board up there, mm-hmm. right? His vision, you know, whatever, fuck it. So, yeah, Ash says, oh, look at that face. I don't know if he was talking about yours or Tom's, but either way, it works.
Mm-hmm. It's probably so his, because you show yeah, his, no, well, that's episode, what I mean. His, you show Tom, his
yeah,
right. clip.
Yeah, he's probably talking
oh,
about
Oh, I thought
his.
You were talking yeah. about, yeah. Yeah, probably. Yeah, no.
This is fun, and I think Tom's getting some ideas out, so we'll turn to the chat real quick. Andrew Openshaw says, I think Swerve Ospreay could be at All In, but I think it may be Ospreay Pac for the international title. That's where I kind of think maybe they're going with Ospreay for a while to kind of yeah. keep him out of the world title thing, but still keep him hot, right? Get him a title. International title fits. You can go over there, do all the international glory with all of those folks. Yeah. You got your ideas, Ray Tom, or mm-hmm. you still kind of...
No, oh, well, I got one. I wanted to start with the second one first, because honestly, second one is a little bit more fun for me than the first one. Like because, it. Not to say anything, but like, we already know that Ospreay is going to be taking on Roderick Strong at All In. Let's all be honest here. He's going to win that title, you know what I'm saying? So it's I gotta do some thinking on how he gets rid of that, but then gets the Swerve, so that one might take some time. But the Nigel gets back in the ring, Bryan Danielson, is fun. So this is how I would do it. Bryan would come back, let's say not this week, obviously, because there's no Collision, the following week, because obviously Nigel McGuinness calls Collision. So this storyline basically has to be a Saturday night program up until the pay-per-view. So what I would do is I would have Bryan Danielson coming back after losing to Will Ospreay, but it's the, you know, 30 star match that we all love. Me and Tim were there. It was amazing. And he comes back and he's like, hey, this is my last full year, as I mentioned, and I have just been having dream matches. Took on Zack Sabre Jr., took on Okada, took on Will Ospreay. Mm-hmm. I've wrestled Eddie Kingston and, you know, have a new
been a wrestle warrior
way of looking at him. Match. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All of his, you know, Yuji Nagata, he took on all of these people, you know, were on his bucket list, and he's accomplished that, and then also learned new things like respecting Eddie Kingston through that program that he had. And so in that promo that he would do, he goes, I just want to say, you know, this is kind of a third of the way through the year, so we are rapidly approaching the end of my full time at AEW. So I want to keep pushing the limits. And so tonight I want to take on one of my dearest friends who I last lost to. He's another Blackpool Combat Club member, John Moxley. John Moxley's like, ho-ho, if you want to play the music, I'll dance, Bryan Danielson. Okay. And better yet, since you're my pal, let's do this for the New Japan or the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, right? So they have their match. Let's say it's the next week, right? Because it's weird to say, like, here it is, and then they do it. So then the following week on Collision, main event, Moxley, Bryan Danielson for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Well, guess what? Moxley gets the better of him. And so then you start to have this crisis of conscience. And we've seen this backstage in the promos from Bryan Danielson, specifically when he lost the Iron Man match to MJF, where he said, MJF said I should go to my kids because like this is essentially passed me by, and maybe he's right, but he never really went down that, because then he just took some weeks off and then he came back and he was a heel with the Blackpool Combat Club, right? So let's explore that. That's where I want to go here. So he loses to John Moxley, son of a bitch, but hey, Moxley's one of the best. He is the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, for Christ's sake. So that makes sense. At least I can rationalize it. I know how good John Moxley is. I want to keep this going. So I'm going to press this, and I'm going to go up against Tanahashi. Tanahashi, you're out there in New Japan. We've got, you know, a Forbidden Door kind of esque thing going on. So get your ass over here, and me and you, we're going to wrestle. And they wrestle, and Tanahashi wins. And Brian Danielson's like, okay, what the fuck's happening? All the while, Nigel McGuinness is calling these matches, right? And know how Nigel McGuinness digs into this, right? Oh,
he's using shortcuts.
Shortcuts. Boom, 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 right? He uses shortcuts.
And just writing him like, it's clear he's washed. He's done. He's put him out the pasture. What a waste of time. We should give refunds for this, right? Just lighten him up. Yeah.
Yeah. And so through that, Nigel McGuinness is riding him, right? You don't want to have Brian Danielson losing everything. So then you also, over the course of, let's just say, 2 to 3 weeks, we get him winning some tag matches with John Moxley, with Claudio Castagnoli.
But he loses
just
the big
one. Hey, look at that. Yeah, he's losing the ones that he thinks, obviously, I should win. Like, he can rationalize the Moxley, he can rationalize the Ospreay, but we start with the Tanahashi being okay, that one shouldn't have gotten away from me, right? We go one step farther. Then he wants to take on one of the bigger names over on Wednesday nights. And he's like, this learning tree bullshit, Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
No. We did it once. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
All
wide
out.
Nipples Jericho there.
Yeah. We're running this back. Well, do the match. You know, he does the promo. Then he calls out Jericho. And we do the match on Dynamite. And through Big Bill kind of inserting himself, Brian Danielson loses again. Chris Jericho's like, ha, ha, ha. And Chris Jericho after this says like, hey, Brian, you know, that wasn't the same as it was at All Out a couple of years ago. You know, I think maybe you need to get underneath the learning tree because I think you may have lost a step. And Brian's like, motherfucker. No. And so Brian says, I'm going away for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of having this like, what the fuck is happening with Brian Danielson? Well, while he's away, Nigel McGuinness is again, just, well, look at that fraud. Couldn't show up to work again. And all
into conversations where it didn't had no relevance, right? He's like, oh, that's kind of like when Brian Danielson sucked and went away and we haven't heard from him since. People are like, why did you see it? I love that.
Exactly. So I would do that, right? He's doing all that. Then we have lights out, lights come back on, but it's not like someone's in the ring. It's just Brian Danielson is then the standing in the ring because we haven't really done that. Obviously, it's a reveal, but it's not a new surprise. It's not someone new to the roster, but it is something that catches your attention. And the reason why is because Brian Danielson on Collision says something and he gets on the microphone and he goes, you know, I haven't been winning all the big ones, right? Some have said I lost a step. Hell, Jericho said it a couple weeks ago on Dynamite. Maybe I have. Maybe that's why this is my last year here. But one thing that I need to get off my chest before I go is this son of a bitch over here is dragging my name through the mud. And he just does a turn his shoulders, face right at Nigel. And he gets out of the ring and he walks over to commentary. And Nigel's doing the, hey, 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 man, hey, I can't, you know, I can't fight. Like, don't touch me. And Brian goes, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure you get in that ring. And Nigel's like, whoa, I failed all the tests. I'm sorry. No, I don't think you do. And so he tells Nigel, if you were really a man like you were in Ring of Honor, you'd meet me at All In. Nigel's like, okay, sure, pal. Right. That sounds cool. And then you have Brian Danielson doing kind of a role reversal to where anytime he's on screen, he's just like, you know, I could be doing things like Nigel McGuinness being a fraud and being a loser.
Sitting on my fat ass talking into a microphone.
Sitting on my fat ass doing magic tricks with RJ City. Or yeah. I could be in here
hanging
really
out with a guy in a fucking
done.
Mask over there for some reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he never does with Excalibur. I guess sometimes he's up there with Excalibur, but
yeah, but you know Shimon, what I'm saying. Yeah, just the digs, right? And then he does a promo a few weeks out from All In, because you know how Tony Khan books too. It's not like we're doing a match typically 5 weeks out, right? So let's just say it's 3 weeks out from All In. And we get the Blackpool Combat Club to talk about what they're going to do tonight. You got Jon Moxley still as your IWGP heavyweight champion. He's calling out anyone in AEW who can, you know, step up to the plate. You've got Claudio Castagnoli saying, you know who I'm going after? I'm going after the international championship. So that's what I'm calling out. Here we go. And then Bryan Danielson gets that microphone and he goes, I know what I'm doing. And he knows what he's doing too. And in 3 weeks, we're meeting in the ring. And again, he faces Nigel
he's
McGuinness.
He's going to stop being a little bitch and he's going to get in this ring. Yeah.
But he says something. And then this is where I would have to do more research, right? Because I just got this.
Personal.
But Bryan Danielson would then again do the same kind of bit where he rolls out of the ring and he gets in his face and he says a personal line that only those two know. And he says, am I right? And whatever that personal thing is, that then just, you see Nigel sit away from the mic, takes his headphones off, and he leaves. It's like, first promo. I'm out of here. He just storms off. And Brian
somebody
just
has to suddenly
laughs.
Stammer to fill in. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's just laughing. Bryan Danielson's just laughing. And that's the end of the segment. 2 weeks out. Bryan Danielson comes in again and he's being interviewed by Renee Paquette. Renee's like, hey, so 2 weeks in, you called out Nigel. Nigel's obviously here tonight. He left, you know, a couple early last week. And so, you know, what do you think? And he goes, well, and before he can, Nigel leaves the commentary booth, rolls into the ring, grabs the microphone and goes, you son of a bitch, you know, personal line, right? You know that this is real to me. And if you're really going to do that, I'm going to end your fucking career. Like you have him say fucking, right? Like you, that's the boom. And Bryan says, well, Bryan says, if I'm going out, I'm going out against my greatest rival. And we both know it's you. And we both know your greatest rival is me. And then you just have a stare down and that's it. And then 1 week out, you do a contract signing, and in it, Bryan Danielson has that line written in the contract. So Bryan grabs it first, right? We're doing the contract signing. He says, hey, done. Nigel gets it, looks at it, looks at him. Motherfucker. Up, heaves the table. We're going. Nothing's really happening, but we're getting a pull apart. And Nigel's just losing his mind. Just, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. And Bryan says, this is what you've been putting me through. You motherfucker. Like, again, you can't cuss, but like, when I was losing those matches, this is what you put my life through. Because that's what is the whole point is putting Nigel through the hell that Nigel put him through when he was losing the big ones, right? That's how you get to All In. Nigel versus Bryan Danielson, double DQ. I'm kidding.
That's awesome. Yeah, for anybody just tuning into the live stream, Tom had a request to book the return of Nigel McGuinness against Bryan Danielson at All In from our senior correspondent, Ash H. Coupled with that is Swerve Ospreay, right? Based on the premise that that's the thing that everybody's talking about right now. They're both on top of the world. I don't know if you've come up with a good idea. I mean, the easy answer to me there is Swerve's getting jealous of Ospreay's popularity, right? I would turn up the drip on like the oi oi oi's and have him out there and everybody's loving him. Swerve being like, this is my fucking house, right? Now you would have to turn Swerve back into the thing. But I think that's what we kind of liked about Swerve. I got to admit, I'm a little like, all right, with the, hey, I'm Mr. Do-Good and the Elite sucks. I'm like, I don't know. I don't feel you, Swerve, as much as I felt I'm breaking into your house and staring over your kid's crib, Swerve.
Yeah, that's
so
the angle
we gotta,
that I think
we got to work
on
blending that, I think. Yeah.
Here's where I would do really quick cliff notes because I know we got so much other stuff to do as well. But this is what I think I would do. At the pay-per-view, All Out, or excuse me, Double or Nothing, Swerve retains his title over Christian. Ospreay doesn't beat Roderick Strong. The United Kingdom, Adam Cole, right? They fucking grab his leg. Ospreay slips on the banana peel. Roderick Strong wins. Ospreay then turns his attention because he's like, hey, I won that gauntlet match, but that title is not my main objective here in AEW. But Adam Cole, you grabbing my foot, you knowing that I beat your friend and you couldn't handle it, now I'm going to ruin your life. And so he goes after Adam Cole, right? Ospreay, Adam Cole, that'll be fun, right? Ospreay comes out on top. This is then where Swerve, he gets his next title challenger, excuse me. Let's say it's Killswitch, Luchasaurus, right? Because Christian Cage would go right to Killswitch, right? Well, when Adam Cole and Ospreay wrestle for this match, they're put in the main event and Swerve is not. And that's where it starts. Is Swerve beats Killswitch like on a Dynamite named whatever, right? Spring Break or whatever the fuck that's called, right? And Swerve wins. He has the title. He's walking back. And as he's walking back, Ospreay's music hits and Ospreay walks down, kind of looks at the title and is like, will look better on me. And then there Swerve's like, oh, and he kind of looks right. You have him stay on the stage while Ospreay walks in and does the, you know, oi, 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 all that. And he just looks around and you just have him whisper into Nana's ear, like, I'm getting that motherfucker. Right. We don't know that's what he's saying, but that's what he's saying. Right. Yeah. He's like, no. And that is where the jealousy starts. Better bite
the pillow when I get up in that. Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah. Oh, I love that fucking line. This is where Swerve starts to say, hey, wait a minute. I'm not the transitional person here that everyone thinks I am. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to prove it's my house. I'm going to go to his fucking house, London, England, in front of his fucking family, just like I did to Hangman, and I'm going to beat him at his own game. So I beat Hangman in a Texas death match. Ospreay, what's the fucking match you want, right? Like, he gives it Ospreay's turn, and Ospreay goes, oh, mate, I'm just a better wrestler, so let's just make it one-on-one. We don't need gimmicks. And Swerve's like, motherfucker. Like, I was wanting something
took his thing out underneath him. Yeah.
And it didn't, right? And he's like, whoa.
Yeah, he's like, my gimmick is no gimmicks, pal. Right?
Like, yeah, and he's just, and that gets him, right? That's like, and he's just pacing. He's like, all right, well, guess what I'm going to do? Because you have Swerve try to repeat the same playbook you did with Hangman, because what he did with Hangman is what got him crazy to the top.
Right.
And well, but it got him to the top. Yeah. So Swerve is trying to say, to keep at the top, I need to replicate what got me here.
Yep.
And Ospreay is like, hey, you're going to vandalize my apartment? I don't even live there. I live mainly in London. I just rent this place when I come to America. Okay. And Swerve's like, God damn it. Like, at every time, he's just like, how is this motherfucker not immune to this? You know?
Yeah.
And yeah. Yeah, you have him do all the dastardly things, but Ospreay, not Swerve's laughing
just
at
like,
him.
I mean, Ospreay's just like, oh, it didn't affect me. Like, good try, buddy.
Yeah, you don't want him. You don't want Swerve to look dumb where, like, you know, paint's falling on his head.
Just
or by, like
sometimes
that.
By chance, sometimes because he was a little more prepared, Ospreay kind of was like, oh, that would have sucked if, like, if I would have happened to be here, but I was late 10 minutes in traffic and...
Right.
Looks like your plan missed, right? Like, just these little things where he's just like, always comes out smelling like a rose, and Swerve's just like, God damn it. Like, what the fuck do I got to do?
But then
do
the last thing that you would do, but then the last thing that you would do, again, 2 weeks out, 1 week out, whatever it would be, is that then Swerve does get the thing, right? Swerve gets the attack from the embassy, and you have Swerve standing over him and like, you didn't think I was going to get you? You got. And then you get to the pay-per-view.
Here in the chat, first of all, Nathan Richardson, about, I think the prior storyline said that was book length for sure. This is the kind of brains that Tom's got. You give him a suggestion like that and he just booked every week, you know, all with all the details filled in on top of his head. So, hire us, Tony, if you need some help. But I'm going to turn our attention here and thanks Nathan for joining. I'm going to turn our attention here to one of the best names, in YouTube history here. Fuck your mama two times. He said, Swerve and Ospreay have history where Ospreay's mother loves him. That's interesting. I'd like to know more about that
one. Oh.
And then he said, I like Swerve telling Christian to wipe his feet before he comes into Swerve's house. That was a good line. But yeah, you could easily get to Ospreay, Swerve, but I think it's turning Swerve back into sinister, like, I'm ready to murder a man over this.
That would be the last thing. What I was talking about, I didn't know that. That Swerve
doesn't wipe his feet,
or Osprey's mother yeah. loves yeah. Swerve.
Yeah, I didn't know this
so
either.
That's the thing is, so he's doing all of these things, right? And then finally, via satellite in London, because he's going to get there before Osprey. He's in Osprey's house, but he ain't going to take out a mother, or he ain't going to take out a kid. He ain't going to do any of that stuff. He's just going to have dinner with his mom.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
dinner too. Not a seductive dinner. We're talking just friendly, like nice to catch up with the friend's mom dinner, right? Like just the innocent.
Here's what you do. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Cause here's what you do. This is fucking great. Fucking great. Oh my God. Think of this segment. Think of this fucking segment. Oh my God. I want this to happen now so bad. So Osprey again is one step ahead of Elmer Fudd. He's Bugs Bunny. Swerve is Elmer Fudd, right? We're just one step ahead. But at the contract site, let's just say it's another contract signing, but it would be something different, right? But face off, face to face, right? Osprey's there. And let's just say it's in Jacksonville because, right, Jacksonville's Jacksonville, right? And Osprey comes up and he's in the ring. He's like, hey, Swerve, you always said Jacksonville's your house. I'm in your house. Where are you? And then you go to the a camera, right? And it's Prince Nana. And Swerve says, hey, get this for Osprey. I want to make sure he sees it. And, they do that. And Swerve is in a kitchen and he's like, hey, Osprey, so sorry I couldn't make it. I came out here to London because of the time change. And last time I was here, I was jet lagged. So I want to be prepared. I also want to be prepared just to know your surroundings. Because you are right. This is your house. And then he bends over. He opens a stove. He gets his mitts on. He grabs this nice meatloaf, right? Puts it on top of the stove. And he's like, so I wanted to make sure that I came here, got all my bearings and surroundings, but also I want to make sure that I'm well fed. And I heard your mother was a great cook. And he takes the meatloaf and he walks into the dining room and he sits it down and he goes, so, Saturday or Sunday, whatever, right? Sunday, I'll see you in the ring. But before that, I'm going to enjoy this meal. And Osprey's mom doesn't understand what the fuck's happening. So she's just like, right. Hey, Will, hey, have a great night. And then Swerve says, yeah, have a great night. And then Prince Nana turns the camera to himself and he does the little Swerve thing. And then that's the end of the segment.
Fuck your mama two times says not meatloaf, shepherd's pie. You got to think about who you're talking about here. It's Osprey's mom. It's got to be something British over there,
yes.
Right? With
well, yeah, exactly. Right. Oh, God. How much fun would that be?
This is great. So send us things like this. This is what Ashton, he gave us a call to aerapup@gmail.com. Just send an audio clip. We played that. He asks us these questions. It can be that. It can be talking about current day stuff. You can ask us random stuff. If you want personal advice, depending on what it is, maybe we'll get into that. Just send us whatever you've got because we love talking to our friends and we love talking to the fans. Tom, I mean, unless you had more to handle on this Swerve.
Well, I'm just saying it I don't, but I'm just saying other things that we can talk about. I just recently got this Hulk Hogan. It's the New Japan Pro Wrestling Hulk Hogan, the Ichiban number one. So we could talk about that. Look, this is when he had actual hair. Wasn't the skullet. Look at those glasses, 1970s all over, baby. So if you want to know about my collection or what action figures you should get, I can talk about that.
Well, Ash said, I'm doing more fantasy booking promos going forward. That was fun. There was a time when we were the Spanish announce table that we had a segment called T-Mac Storytime. People would literally say, this wrestler, these two wrestlers, this kind of match, this pay-per-view, and you got to use this kind of prop. And Tom would have it in seconds, something booked out without fail.
Dead awesome Fandango.
Stuff. Awesome stuff. Yeah, that's where we created Fond Dead Guy. All kinds of fun stuff comes out of there. Yeah, Fond Dead Guy was an Undertaker-esque zombied
Fandango.
Dead Fandango, and he was Fond Dead Guy. Jeffrey Todd says, do you have a favorite in your collection? Jeffrey wants to know, do you have a favorite in your collection? You have an extensive collection. You've built this very quickly, too.
I do.
You were not into this not too long ago, if I recall. And then suddenly, I don't think you were against or turned off or anything, but at one point you were like, no, I don't like this. And your collection is good now.
Yeah, secret time before we get into AEW Dynamite and Rampage Secret Time. Now? The reason why is because when I had my tumor, there was about a 2 week period where I didn't know if this was cancer or not. So I regressed back to when I was a kid and did have a bunch of action figures. So I said, I'm going to do this, figure that out.
Play my toys till I die, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, go to therapy because you'll figure it out. And then I was like, I'm not going to play with them, right? But I want to take photos because I was always interested in photography. And so that's what I was doing. My favorite, it's hard because like my wrestlers that are my favorite are my favorite, but like the best action figure that I think is just objectively one of my favorites is, let me see if I can get them. Yep, there it is. It's the Deathmatch Kenny Omega. Remember the barbed wire deathmatch? Yeah. Look at that. The attention to detail on the face. You got that. You got the shirt. You even got blood on his. And then you got the pants, the knees. Like, it's fucking. I really like this one a lot. I try to use this one.
It's good. It's good they gave you the pants.
Well, it's exactly like it. Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boom. So, yeah. If you, that I would say off the top of my head, this one's probably my favorite one. I like it a lot.
What's the account? Because you post these pictures on social media.
So yes.
T-Mac Toy Wrestling, right?
Yes. T-Mac_Toy_Wrestling. T-Mac Toy Wrestling.
Yeah, T-M-A-C for anybody out there. And then you can also follow us on the threads. We are at All Elite Wrap Up with the underscores in between because, you know, didn't work out without them. So All Elite Wrap Up, alleliterapup.com for all the links you may need. You can subscribe to us there as well, and it is completely free. We pledge to stay that way, but we have some donation buttons there if you're so inclined to help us keep the lights on here. And as you all know, lights are getting fucking expensive these days. So Tom, let's start talking about Dynamite into Rampage. We had so much fun.
Yeah, so last night it started off with a little bit of a different beat because typically we start with a rundown of what the show is and then we get right into a match. This one, though, coming off of the heels of Tony Khan being attacked, starts off with Tony Khan inside the Jacksonville Jags office room, I guess, or meeting conference room. I'm not exactly sure what it was, but it was obviously in Jacksonville. He still has the neck collar on. And he says about how, unfortunately, because of my neck injury, I can't be there tonight. So with that being said, we have a great show. And then you're getting these like little interruptions. And Tim, initially, swear to God, because I've been conditioned this way from spooky WWE, I thought we were going to get some Uncle Howdy type.
Sammy Callahan is in AEW.
Or Eric Rowan all of a sudden is, you know. The new Exalted One or something, and I was like, "No, we're not doing
Allen
this
is
with
now
Tony."
Spooky, and he's glitching.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was nervous that was going to be the case, but it wasn't. It was just a, "Hey, we're having technical difficulties," and it was the Young Bucks, and the Young Bucks said, "Hey, so he can't make it. In our contract, it says if he can't make it, we're in charge. And by the way, when we re-signed, we made sure that we basically can't get fired."
Ironclad contracts, to steal a line from, I wonder if Paul White gave him that. Isn't he the one who had the ironclad contract?
So what did you think about the start of
Fine.
AEW Dynamite?
I think this is, they've done a lot of work here and even later in the show to explain why the EVPs will have unchecked power moving forward. Right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's sort of setting the stage.
The only thing that I had an issue with, again, and it's nitpicking, is Tony Khan was a little bit too happy. I understand he's trying to like kick off the show, but be like, be mad that you aren't there.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. I would have been like,
you were mandated to stay there. You should be upset about that.
Yeah. Say something to the effect of like, this is my passion in life and that I'm not there tears me apart. Like say something, you know what I mean? He was a little too happy, but he's also not the best actor. So maybe less lines, the better.
Well,
so we get a, hey, that's fun.
Hey,
I don't know why people are like, oh, he has
a cure for depression. Isn't it not?
Yeah. It's so
you
much
never see Tony sad, do you? Tony looks great. He's got a broken neck. Guy's got a broken neck. Multiple sustained injuries to the back and neck area, as Excalibur explained it to us. And look at the smile on his face. It's doing him wonders.
going to the draft, making draft
Jags
picks.
Jags are drafting things. Yeah.
They're yeah, all that stuff.
Not go to the Super Bowl, but that'll be all right.
Hey, you know, there's only room for one. All right.
Yeah, there's
there.
Only room for
Anyhow.
One goat, right? And so that's, you know.
Yes, exactly. So we get a new highlight package, though.
On the team, but that's all right.
Yeah, obviously. So we get a new highlight package, new, you know, promo. And guess what? It's all the Elite. I thought that was a fun thing, is there's a new open and it was just the Elite the entire time.
The Elite,
time.
Yeah. All it's Elite, just, folks. Here, it's so fun.
Here. Yeah. So that's what we get. And then we kick off the actual show with our AEW World Champion, Swerve Strickland, in the ring. And as you alluded to when we were talking about him earlier in tonight's podcast,
yeah,
he was doing a little bit of the Elite, you kind of are bitches, which, hey, look, it's good that the champion is addressing another story. I think that is cool that, hey, you guys are
fucking
bitch
stuff.
Yeah, we
want to hear what the champ
has
to say about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Now, one thing that I've heard criticism about from him saying that is like, why didn't you go out to help? It's like, that's not my business, but I can have an opinion on it. Right. Like,
right.
So
it's a bitch move, but I'm not going to stop you from doing it. I'm just going to tell you, you did a bitch move. Yeah.
And don't come this way, right? Like, you can keep all that, you know, fake tough guy stuff beating up on Tony Khan this way. I'm the champ. Don't come my way.
Fuck your mama two times, says Swerve never lost that casket match.
Well, his hair, it's dread, which we'll talk about.
I know.
So we
Who
get.
Was that, against? That was Sting and Darby, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Sting and Darby. Yep. So we get Matthew and Nicholas back up on the big screen and they go, hey, pal, we have your opponent for Double or Nothing. And guess what? He's a Canadian icon and he's right there in the go position. So play his music.
Yep.
And we get the countdown and we get
multi-time
everyone.
Champion all around the world. They said, yep. You know, yeah. Multiple
well, and we
promotions.
Get everyone's favorite father, Christian Cage with the family. Coming down. And to your point, Christian Cage is like, hey, I didn't forget you lost us that match last year and All In. The one tie-in that I thought was really cool is Christian says, hey, and I haven't forgot what you did, Nick Wayne. Because remember, one of the dastardly things that Swerve did was go to that training school.
Yeah, my boy. Bloody
damn near
up.
Killed him.
This is one of the first things I think we got to see Swerve where we were like, God damn, guy.
Exactly.
Calm down.
Yeah. They like, really
don't calm
made
down.
Him bleed.
Don't calm down, Swerve. We like it. Yeah. You know, Andrew Openshaw says the argument of the roster not going to help is most of them can say they don't want to get fired or suspended by the EVPs, right? So that always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Swerve, you know, but that's the thing. I think Swerve is like, it ain't my business, but it's bitch business. I can say that.
Right. Yeah, I think that was totally called for, you know, not out of the realm for a champion to say.
Fuck your mama two times. I still love this name. He says, I kind of want his past to come back to bite him in his reign. I feel like we did that with MJF, but I mean, you know, it could fit for a lot of people.
Yeah, we've done that
you
a couple
do
times.
Do what you got to do to become the champion. And then sometimes that, you know, that's the price you pay. Is whatever you did to get there is what costs it for you.
Yeah, we've done that two times. Because if you recall, MJF did that to Chris Jericho with like the five labors of Jericho kind of thing. Then we've done it with it. So I wouldn't mind
with MJF
it.
And the kingdom thing. And then now, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We would be, yeah.
But I think we know as far as this title reign, there's a boogeyman. And it'll probably get addressed sooner than later. But we'll talk about that when it comes. So this segment, though, Christian Cage gets a, you know, attack on Swerve
Strickland.
Yeah,
it doesn't say anything, just pop.
Yeah, and we get just an ass whooping to the point where Luchasaurus ripped out a dread out of the fucking head of Swerve Strickland. Now, also, Prince Nana got beat up, so I don't want to, you know, blow past that point, but what the fuck was pulling out your actual hair, man? What'd you think of that?
Yeah, interesting. I first of all think this is awesome that it's Christian Cage, because just what I was saying, right? I'm a little left in the moment going, Swerve, you know, great. I don't know that I feel as much for you when you're the rah-rah champion. Well, let's get the, if not the best heel in the entire wrestling industry right now, certainly one of the best in AEW, to go out there and just make you want nothing but to root for Swerve here. So I think that's going to help a lot. It's going to make Swerve have to step up a little on the promo game too, right? Not necessarily step up. Swerve's good at it, but like, he's going to be going with an all-time great here. So should be very interesting. The Dread thing, fine. I think it's there, and maybe we'll get a call back to it being the thing in the casket match or something. Maybe they'll talk more about it. I felt like in the moment, it looks a little less cool than, like, you have to kind of think about it. You're like, God damn, that would hurt. You know what I mean? And like, and embarrassing, yeah, and that kind of thing. But it's not as like, it's less pro wrestling cliche where it's like big move and suddenly like now we know the guy's knocked out, right? So it's a little different, and we'll see how they play into it, I think. I'm a little more positive and patient with it, I think.
I thought it was more original than the we are going to get clippers and cut your hair because fucking true okay. That. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
That's
like
stupid.
We're going to
yeah,
cause
cut
pain
it off. They
and
ripped
take
it.
Your fucking hair. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
ripped it right
out. I thought that was great. I think Christian Cage is also a really good first feud, because like you said, he's going to bring in good things. He already alluded to, hey, Swerve, you said your daughter doesn't know you because you're always on the road. Well, guess what? After I'm done with you, she can have a real father. Already throwing that in there and stuff.
So good.
But
so good.
We know, right, that like, if we're all being serious with ourselves here, we all know that like Christian Cage isn't beating Swerve Strickland sure. in the first program. But yeah. it's not the new
At least
next
not for
hot
the title.
Spot.
He's not winning
right.
clean and winning the title. Yeah.
But it's not Ospreay, for example, where we would be like, right. oh, fuck, you just ruined that. Like, Christian Cage is solid. He's always going to be right there for you. So I think this is a great burst feud yeah. for him.
Yeah, he's never going to deliver right, anything other than an A-minus or better, and that's gonna mm-hmm. be great for a first feud. Yeah.
Okay, so then we get into some in-ring action. We get the Cope open for the TNT Championship match. It's going to be against one of the members of the House of Black. We get a sound bite from Malakai Black saying, ooh, who guess who's going to be? And it's Buddy Matthews. That's fine. Let me know what you think about this. I saw a lot of criticism about this match, and this is what I would say. Not everything needs to be flippity-flop, 15 false finishes. It can just be a knockdown, drag out fight that someone gets bloody and then yes. we get a winner. You know what I mean?
Yes. I will say I agree with you there, but I think they did that a lot in this one, especially in the middle. There was a lot of laying around because they were so beat up from each other, right? Where mm-hmm. they were like, they're both laying there for fucking 7 seconds, and then one of them stumbles up and grabs the other one, and they fucking launch each other again, and now they're laying there again for fucking 7 seconds. So there was a time in the middle where I was like, did you guys not fucking exercise before you came in? Like, did somebody eat something bad?
Well,
like, what's happening here?
Well, let's not forget, Adam Copeland likes to make his matches a touch too long. Remember that street fight he had with Randy Orton at WrestleMania 36?
Was that the greatest WrestleMania?
No, that was a backlash. That was that later, but yeah, the fucking street fight was forever. So here's where I want to get to. Copeland wins, right? And he's going to keep on attacking Buddy Matthews, for right. just, you know, hey, you've been fucking with me. You got to win over me at Dynasty. I'm going to take you out. So here's where I don't get it. I don't get it, Tim. So Copeland gets two chairs. We're going to do concerto, right? He puts his head on the chair. He, you know, puts his arms in the air because he's going to swing that fucking chair into his head. Lights go out. Okay. I don't know why you wouldn't finish that swing, but I digress. And he stops. And then Malakai Black's there. And he's like, yeah, do it, which I think is interesting. Buddy now is on his knees facing Adam Copeland. And Malakai's like, yeah, hit him in the head. Here's where, Tim, I want your opinion on this. Okay, I was going to do it anyhow.
I was going to do it anyway. Yeah, why did you? Yeah, he was not conflicted about doing it. It would have worked better if he was doing that. And now Malakai's in the middle of him. And Copeland's like, all right, well, I'll just hit you instead. And he goes, no, do what you were doing, right? Like, hit him. And then Copeland could be like, what the fuck are you, like, I'm going to hit both of you. But for some reason, maybe he can't hit, you know what I mean, Malachi? And he's like, he just hits Murphy anyway or something. Like, you know what I mean? You could have worked it a little better, I think, and achieved the same thing you were after there, right? And to me, we get more on Copeland later that we'll talk about. I kind of feel like he could have went this way without involving this segment with them here anyway, right? We got the mist in the eye. He's a little, you know what I mean, paranoid about things right now, and he's going to seemingly devolve into a little more crazy if I'm, you know, guessing a little too far down the road here. But this was a little odd for me. I don't think the piece is quite, again, it feels like they came up with this idea, but nobody wrote it down and was like, point A to B to C and do what you just did right here. Be like, well, wait a minute. He wasn't conflicted. Why did he stop him to hit it? Why didn't he just hit both of them?
Yeah. Cause what I would have done again, if I had the pin, cause I think I'm better is, and I know this is very traditional WWE. However, I think sometimes it works where Copeland didn't need to beat Buddy Matthews, right? He could have been getting cheap shot by Buddy Matthews the entire time, right? So say Buddy Matthews. I always get it, Murphy and Matthews confused, but Buddy low blows him, right? Say he does that. Then let's say Buddy
twists his nipple,
takes the turnbuckle off. Takes the turnbuckle off, throws him in there, right? He's doing all these things to the point where he gets the spear. Copeland gets a spear on him, and he's like, I'm going to fucking take this guy out. And he
just should have hit him with a chair a bunch of times. You know what I mean? Hit him with a chair a bunch of times.
I would have done everything the same. But the reason he had to stop is because then if he does it, he loses the match. He still would be the champion, but he doesn't want to lose the match. So
ref is looking at it.
Yeah.
He's like, don't. Yeah.
But then that's when Malachi's like, no, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. And then you get the real conflict of like, should I listen to this?
Yeah, you just be like, you know, you hate him. Like, you know what I mean? Be like, you know, you want to hit him. Why hold it back? You don't owe anything to them. Hit him, right? Like, yeah.
And then you could have done
we did get Murphy even being like, or Matthews, which one is it?
Matthews, yeah.
But he's like, he was even like, yeah, fucking hit me, which was kind of a little like interesting as well, I thought, but.
Yeah, and you could have even still did the like, well, I'm going to hit Malachi, lights are out. And then, oh no, we don't get a finish. Is anyone coming back and like checking the record books, bud? Like it could have been fine that no one was a winner. Copeland keeps his champion.
Yeah, exactly. It's called a draw.
Right.
It's called a draw.
Yeah. Or he's counted out. 10 count, count out, whatever.
Hey. 10 seconds, he's gone.
This was an interesting.
Yeah, not in the House of Black. We got folks in the chat saying he cannot be in the House of Black though. Adam has to go off on his own tangent of being crazy. I like later what we'll get into. We'll talk to when he's talking to Kyle O'Reilly. We just need him to go crazy and get off from these folks. Yeah, get away from the House.
Yes. Speaking about throwing things away from you, Samoa Joe yeets Isaiah Cassidy fucking 10 different ways. And beats his ass, Samoa Joe, coming back from that loss.
Oh, my God. And Isaiah, like, again, props on taking this bump, but it seems a little unnecessary and dangerous, though, when Joe's going to move, and this time he just landed completely, like, on his ass and back over the top rope. I was like, dude, you're trying to kill yourself doing that. Jesus,
yeah. Man, we could have done that in the ring, and it still would have been funny. Yeah.
Man. Ugh. But it was cool.
Samoa Joe.
It was a great.
Exactly. Thing. Yeah, it was cool. Hopefully, it was worth it for you, Isaiah. But Samoa Joe gets the victory. The only thing that I left with this was Private Party's entrance is so fucking cool. The one touch that I would do, I would put it back even farther. They're doing it in the tunnel. Push it back a little bit farther. Have him walk through the what they're calling go position or whatever, right? But like, have him coming from a locker room, not like Goldberg style, but you get what I'm saying? Like, hey, and then that's when the camera guy's trying to get to him. And that's where the security guard stopping him and be like, hey, get the fuck back. And then Isaiah makes his way into the ring.
Yeah.
But that entrance is fucking cool. Right. Mm-hmm. I think that entrance is awesome. All right, let's keep it moving. Sky Blue calls out Willow for later in the night. Sure.
Yeah.
And then we get Orange Cassidy comes to the ring, and Tim, there's a lot of things in my life that confuse me. Add this to it. Orange Cassidy comes out there and he's like, "Hey, Trent, because of what you did, Chuck Taylor can never wrestle again." So I'm going to just pause there. Legit? You think that's legit?
I think it's legit, and I think that's why they did this. I think I wanted to say I nailed it because I think I said just quickly a couple episodes back, I said, I think we're splitting them up because I'm getting the feeling that maybe Chuck's injury is one that he's not going to be able to come back from.
Man.
Yeah. Now,
Again.
maybe we're wrong, and maybe that's all
Right.
we're all getting worked, and I hope that's the case, obviously, because I love the
I
best friend
do.
that I love,
I
and
hope
Trent's
so
awesome.
too.
Yeah.
But
But I think that might be legit.
the thing I'll say again though is if we look back at the history of AEW tag team wrestling and the best friends were never AEW tag team champs, man, that sucks. But I
I told my
digress, as
boss, I
Taz
said,
said.
not to give you a sad news, but Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends broke up because he's looked up Orange Cassidy online as a big fan, and he was like, this is indeed sad. This is a sad day. Like, yeah,
They're
I
very
know.
sad.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
So the thing here, though, that confuses me is Orange Cassidy says essentially, like, "Hey, I had my best friends, but now I walk alone." And then Trent comes out and he's like, "Oh, big shock. This asshole makes it all about him again."
Yeah,
Right?
I love that. He's like, yeah, only you can make somebody else's career ending be about you. Love it.
Yeah, which is kind of true, right?
Love
And Orange Cassidy sprints. He goes up there. Security is separating him. Okay, Tim, let's get into this. Statlander is still showing up, but not really doing anything. And she separates Orange from Trent, but you gotta go back. They don't do typically throwaway
Yeah.
moments, right? They don't just do something to do something
Yeah.
like WWE. Trent saying
Yeah. What
something
did she
to
say? Yeah. Or
Statlander.
he say to her? Yeah.
And now she's like, "Hey, Orange, stop, stop, stop. I think, what do you think? What do you think with her before we move on? What's her angle, you
Well,
think?"
this would not be bad if, like, yeah, if she is able to kind of voice what Trent's not saying, that lends credence to what he's saying. Meanwhile, Orange might be doing the unthinkable and, wandering down a different path. We might be able to kind of help her, reveal maybe a true nature of Orange Cassidy or something. You know what I mean? And maybe Trent said something that she was like, you know what, you're right. And she's like, but calm down, Orange. And then maybe he keeps saying the wrong thing due to his newfound friend. And she's like, you know what? Fucking Trent's been right this whole time. You're a bitch because this.
Well,
We
let's put
get
some
like
things
told something
together
that
here
we're
real
like,
quick.
oh my God, right? Like, we would have never thought he would have done that.
But let's put some things here together, right? Andrew Openshaw in the chat does say that Orange said, quote, "Someone told him that Chuck's career is over." Maybe that's Don Callis. Also, let's remember, it was Don Callis who first got into Trent's ear and walked off with Trent. So then this episode, we have Don Callis walk out, get in the ear of Orange Cassidy, and walk him off. My gut says this is a Don Callis, Trent, Chris Statlander screws over Orange Cassidy to where, because this is what I think should happen. Now, this is just my opinion. I'm going off on a
What do
quick
we got?
tangent
Don
here.
Callis with two families going on, or what do we?
No, they just joined because Powerhouse Hobbs, kayfabe,
He's
breaking kayfabe
gone
here.
for a while.
He's gone for a while. Kyle Fletcher and Ospreay, they're leaving. So really all he has is Takeshita, right? So you got to add someone and adding a female because Don Callis in the female division also is going to be great or would be great. You know what I mean?
But with Don Callis in
But
anything,
here,
God, he's so
yeah,
good.
but follow me here. Follow me here. This is what I think the ultimate cool goal could be with this whole thing is Don Callis, Trent, Chris Statlander, basically middle finger Orange Cassidy. We've seen Orange Cassidy blossom from the he's gonna try to 72 consecutive weeks wrestling
And
and defending a
sprinting after
title.
Trent when he's mad, right? So he's,
Well, yeah,
yeah.
exactly. I think this should be the catalyst that breaks the heart of Orange Cassidy. And I'm not saying do Sting, right? Don't do Sting, but go back to when Orange Cassidy is just found during a street fight, hanging out in a closet and stuff. But this time it's not this. It's no more thumbs up. It's just, I don't want to be here. I got to be here because this is my job, but like, this sucks.
Yeah.
And we get someone, whoever that is, right? We can get to that part after it, but then someone brings him out of it, but have him go back to, I don't talk. My hands are in my pockets. I don't even want to wrestle. Cause I would have him win squash matches too. Right.
He shrugs a lot now, right? Now it's just a,
yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah. I would have him win squash matches.
I'm here. That's it. Just I'm here.
Well, yes. Yeah. I showed up or obligated to be here. Something like that. Yeah. Right. But
I'm here so I don't get fined.
Yes. Yes, Andrew. Andrew's fucking got it. That's what it is. So we'll get to Andrew's comment in just a second, but we'll recap it to get to the comment. Trent, Chris Statlander, Don Callis breaks the heart of Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy regresses back to who he was when we started AEW, but he's bummed, not giving the thumbs up. And it's a returning Danhausen that gets him out of the funk. And then you could do like a tag team with those two or something. You know what I mean? But it's him that is getting Orange Cassidy back to the,
love it,
you know, international champion
status.
Oh my
God, the fun segments we would get from that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just like how you had the summer of bromance with MJF and Adam Cole, you could do with Danhausen and Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, the
with
odd couple.
Orange Cassidy being the straight guy.
Traveling the roads.
Well, it's just Danhausen trying to get him to break out of this. Like, hey, I took you to your favorite orange factory.
That's what I mean. Every town they could be doing something, and he's trying to get Orange Cassidy, and literally he's just like dragging him, almost like has to pull him by the shirt. And Orange Cassidy just slumped over, and he's like, "Hey, look, we're going to the, you know, we're going to the here in Kansas City, the World War One Museum." And he'll be like, "Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you know," he'll be like, "All right, well, let's try something else. We're gonna go to, you know, ride the, fuck, you know, we're gonna go down to Union Station and do something." And he'll just, you know, the whole time he's just like, "I'm here," right? Like just kind of ho hum. Crazy fun stuff is happening all around him, and he's just there with his sunglasses, almost looking like fucking Weekend at Bernie's, right? Just fucking like couldn't be fazed.
Yeah, for Kansas City, take him to like Worlds of Fun and put him on roller coasters, and he's just like whatever, he's just, you know.
That
could be fun.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep it moving here because we got a lot of show to cover. Next up, we get Renee Paquette backstage with the Young Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. I think we should just call them the EVPs, but I digress.
The EVPs.
And they go, "Hey, thank you so much. Renee, maybe smile a little bit more, but we had too much TV time. Let's give it to a good friend." And it's Jack Perry. And Jack Perry says, "You know, hey, I meant what I said when I told Tony that the only thing he wants is the best for AEW." And that's exactly what he did. And Tony tried to make him be the scapegoat and fuck that shit, you know, which if we're breaking kayfabe, look, you know, we're talking about someone who's not at the company anymore. So anyhow, and then he goes, "Thanks to Tony Khan, we're entering in a new era," which some other company is also saying they're in a new era, but it's under the Elite. So what do you make of this Jack Perry promo segment?
Jack Perry has, I don't know if he went to promo class during this break from AEW, but you shared with me another clip of an op show promo that he did that was money as well. This guy's killing it right now. He is top notch with this stuff. Like everything's believable. He seems angry and bitter, but sinister and manipulating. It's great.
Well, it doesn't seem like he has to do too much acting. You know, it feels like there's some real feelings in what he's saying, but
yeah, maybe Punk was right. Is what we'll you're saying.
No, I'm saying maybe he's saying, well, no, what I'm saying is maybe Punk is made his life
this
hell.
This particular story. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is going to be the bullshit that everyone else has to feel what I've been feeling because I got blamed as the scapegoat, right?
Andrew agrees with the chat then, on Jack up in his promo game.
Yeah, it is very good. Very good. All right, so then we get the FTW Championship match. It's the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho versus Shibata. And this was the probably the moment of the night, right? We get the
Yeah.
trash can on Shibata. We get Jericho with the kendo stick hitting the can, getting walked down by a man in a trash can. Fun spot there. What'd you think of
Yeah.
that?
Good
Yeah.
stuff. Somebody in the chat earlier, I forget who it was, said Shibata with a cell phone is cooler than half the roster. This was great. This was a good spot. This was like, again, it's Jericho. It's some of it's gonna be cheesy, right? So we got like the walk down spot and stuff like that. It might have ran a little too long
The hockey
for what we were
pucks.
doing. Yeah, the hockey pucks are there. But again, I mean, part of what Jericho's doing right now lends into that, right? Like he's all like, "Hey, I'm showing you guys,
Hey.
you love it, right? So we do
Thanks,
more of
guys.
it." We're like, "No, don't." Yeah. He's like, "I hear you
Yeah.
loud and clear."
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll
10 more
work.
minutes? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big Bill comes down and, he wipes the floor with old Shibata, and then he's like, "See, look at me, Jericho. Look at me." Okay, I mean, it was cool how it ended, but sure. And then what do we get? Oh, you got to play the soundbite here because Renee Paquette is backstage with Willow, Statlander, and Stokely, and they're talking about the CEO, Mercedes Moné, here. And Willow's
This
like,
soundbite?
"Willow."
Don't play that sound bite, damn it.
Okay, not this one.
Willow.
Right.
Right.
Not that one. Okay, right. Sorry. No, you're good. Yeah. I'm not going to play it. You still got
Okay.
to play it.
So,
Yeah.
meh.
Yeah.
So Willow is mad about the confusion. And again, guess who's there causing the confusion? Chris Statlander. And she goes, "Well, thankfully, all of that's resolved." And she's in a fight mood, so Sky Blue tonight, she's gonna, mollywop you in the tit. And before they could even talk any further, the Young Bucks send a message via text that Statlander and Stokely are banned from ringside, and if they interfere, Willow will be stripped of the TBS championship.
Well, it also said that she needs to smile more. I don't know if you caught that she
Yes, oh, yeah.
reminded her to smile
Yeah.
more. Good. Great stuff.
And then Stokely has the reaction of,
This reaction.
"Aside from my own actions, what did I do to deserve this?"
Fucking best one. I'm using that forever now. Anytime somebody's mad at me, I'm going to be like,
"Aside from my own actions, what did I do to deserve this?"
it's the best.
I mean, it's the best. It is
Big
the best.
Stoke. Woo!
Somebody called out for Big Stoke. Had to give him
It's every week. I'm not kidding
Every
you.
week.
It's every week.
Oh, what did he say? I didn't include this as a sound because I've added so many sounds right now, including this one you asked me to put in.
It says pro wrestling on the marquee. It does not say a midget a beaten off in the trash can.
But aside from that, the Stokely ones, you sent me the one where, again, we're going to talk about Willow's match later, but Stokely said Willow was like if Mick Foley was a Teletubby. And like every week, he has some lines that are just killer, just home runs. Hey, if he's every minute more he's not on television is a crime, man. It's good stuff.
Yes. For as much TV time as Jericho gets, it needs to go to Stokely. That's where it needs to go. Because it's fucking. You know what I wouldn't hate? And I'm being dead serious. You know how they do their, like, "Hey, we're in the control center to get you ready for tonight's collision, rampage, whatever it is." Tony Schiavone just goes, "Hey, we're in tonight's control center." And it's just a promo from Stokely, a promo from Tony Storm, a promo from Stokely, a promo from Tony Storm. We wrap it up. That's it. You know what I mean? It's fucking great.
No, here, okay. Here's what I would do with one of the shows, like Rampage, right? Let's say it's Rampage. You know how, like, some shows, and TNA did this for a while, where it was like last week on, whatever. And they go over the storylines. Have story be like, "All right, here's what happened on Rampage," and just kind of like shit on all of the stories as he's explaining them, and be like, "Back to this, I guess." Right? And just kind of like, I'm thinking old guys on the Muppets, right? Like, let's just have him like just for like that show, right? Just the Rampage or something, right? Just to add a little extra flavor. That'd be good.
Yeah, not don't make it a thing, but like randomly, right? Like once a quarter,
right?
He does.
Somebody gives you the recap, but when he does it, he's always like, and then these two nerds, like, and but you know, he'll obviously have some hilarious lines to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from my own actions, what did I do to deserve this?
Well, you know what he could say about all the competitors is that they're a raggedy bitch.
Yes, gosh, where we got that in here somewhere too. Let me find that one. Where is that one?
You raggedy bitch.
I mean, that one could be my favorite because it broke Bryan Danielson as well. You saw Bryan Danielson start to laugh, and it was about him. Just
that was the worst crime you can commit is dick riding without a license.
That's a PSA. That is a PSA. All right, let's get into
he's
some
so angry
action.
About it too when he's delivering
oh,
that. Like,
yeah.
He's so brooding. It's like that's the worst so crime mad. You can commit.
So we get some in-ring action here. It's
a midget. A beaten off in the trash can.
I don't know where you found him. That's great stuff.
Dusty Rhodes is in TNA and he was just talking shit on I think Hornswoggle, and it's just the best. Oh my god. All right. So we get Brian Cage versus Claudio Castagnoli. Not a ton happens here besides some fun, you know, lean meat. That's what I would call this match. It's not a meat match, right?
Lean meat.
Yeah, it's not Miro and Powerhouse Hobbs. It's not Keith Lee.
It's the fucking tag team name, Tom. It's Brian Cage and Claudio. First of all, you know that shit would fucking slap, as the kids say, right? Those matches that they put on would be bangers. Lean meat. You fucking sell. Oh my god, we just booked them. We just booked made them famous. God damn it.
Yeah. Fuck your mama two times says, is Stokely still the GM of Ring of Honor? I think so. And he was awesome with Samoa Joe. He was fantastic.
I love how emphatic you said fuck your mama two times.
All right. I mean, that's how it sounds. Fuck your mama two times.
Yeah. For anybody listening on the podcast, we're not being this terse. This is the gentleman's screen name. he wants to fuck your mama 2x, right? Twice. And I mean, yeah, anything doing once or anything worth doing once worth doing twice, right?
Yep, exactly. Okay, so we get some women's in-ring action.
Meet as a tag team.
We get Mariah May with Toni Storm and Luther taking on the Professor Serena Deeb. And this is what I thought was interesting about this. It's a good standard match. Nothing bad about it at all. But we get a one-legged Boston Crab. Serena Deeb then starts to slam that fucking leg into the ground. Timeless Toni Storm pulls a fucking, you know, costing Bob Backlund his title, which this is where I think this may come. And throws in the towel for Mariah May, grabs her, and is essentially like, you don't beat up a child. This is a child, Mariah May, you know. And so with Serena Deeb getting the victory, we've got at Double or Nothing, Serena Deeb taking on your AEW Women's Champion, Toni Storm. I think this towel throwing in might be something. What do you think? Or am I just reading into it too much?
I think so. Maybe we get Mariah being like, you didn't need to, you know, maybe we get a little bit of like, why did you throw in the towel? I wasn't ready. Maybe, right? Maybe. And she'll be like, darling, you could, you know what I mean? You clearly couldn't see and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. All I can do is still sing the fucking praises of Serena goddamn Deeb. Fuck, she's awesome. She is mean. And like happy to hurt these people and was folding her up like a pretzel and being like, look at this dumb bitch. Like, I just love everything about Serena Deeb. She's awesome. Fucking more Serena
she
Deeb.
Is.
Love it.
She, well, and more, the only thing that was honestly wrong, like capital WRONG wrong with Dynamite / Rampage was that this match didn't have Toni Storm on commentary. Toni Storm, anytime she's out there, if she's not wrestling, needs to have these
still
headphones
ran
on.
Threw in the towel.
Yep. Or had Luther do it for her.
So when Deeb wrapped her up and had her all pretzeled up, Taz was like, go help her, Toni. Would you? And he was like, I mean, I could help her, but first I got to tell everybody about our deal. Like, it went on a goddamn sales pitch for 3 minutes. Fucking loved it. I love the commentary is so fun and unique with AEW. is one of the I think unique parts that is endearing about it. I like it.
Yeah, it's very good. It is very, and it's different too, because I think they all view each other as equals, where, and I'm not trying to put them down, but Pat McAfee thinks he's king shit and Michael Cole kind of bends the knee to him. He's like, you are so neat.
Yeah.
It's like, not everything's funny. Okay, bro. Yeah. Not everything's funny about him.
Not every wild ass thing you say is funny. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Andrew says Tony's promo after was another wild one. Every promo from Tony is wild right now. She has no filter and I love it.
Well, and did you catch, we got a quick promo from Luther since we were in Winnipeg. He's from Winnipeg.
God, that was so fun too. And then when she was really like, I'm ready for my washing. And he was like, now you get it. Now y'all see. Perks to this job. So fun. God damn. Hey, man, Tony Storm is fuck your mama two times, says Tony is the best promo in wrestling across the board. In even the promos, the segments, like, she's so bought into the character work, and she is so, another one of these, like, with Stokely. Every time we see her, multiple times a week, she's hitting you with something hilarious, or, and sometimes it's not even hilarious, sometimes it's like that intense promo that we got that is just kind of pushing the envelope and cutting edge. Like, she is doing everything at 100 miles an hour right now. Killing it. Tony Storm.
Killing it. Tony Storm, the best. We get to that backstage segment that you alluded to. Renee Paquette is talking to Adam Copeland, Kyle Riley.
Malenko. Sorry.
Wouldn't hate it. Kyle Riley walks up to Copeland as they're talking about, you know, Adam Copeland's dealings with the House of Black. And he's like, hey, I've always looked up to you. You're Canadian. I'm Canadian. So we share the same dirt. So I guess we got to be friends. Whatever. I digress.
From America's hat.
And America's hat. But Copeland says, Kyle Riley says, hey, Copeland, if you need any backup, I got you. And Copeland's like, yeah, that's cool. Hey, eyes up here. Stop looking at my title. And he's like, thanks, bro. Appreciate it. He's got Brody King next week.
I watched it back, though. He was looking at the title. He was.
Mm-hmm.
His gaze drifted down, and he was staring that Kyle O'Reilly four long stare, you know? And Adam quickly was like, hey, eyes up here. I get it. He's going to stop getting it less each week. And we called for this absent of the House of Black interference, right? That's what I was saying earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, we could have got here without this, right? He didn't need the mist to make him go crazy. He could have just started being like, why are you looking at me? Hey, man, hey. You talking to me or my title, right? Like, yeah, you trying to help me or are you trying to be there when you think I need help and take advantage of me, right? And then you can start thinking that more and more, right?
Or, just a thought, what if it's Kyle Riley who joins the House of Black? Look, Kyle Riley, we'll get to it now, just real quick, because I don't think it's worth really deep dive into. He beats Rocky Romero on Rampage, you know, later in the night. He's a great wrestler, but man, he ain't there with being a solo act. At least I don't
wrestler.
Think.
He's a great wrestler, but he's a great wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Then we get the return of Kenny Omega. And this was a little heart-wrenching. He kind of gets into diverticulitis. What could happen as far as a treatment or a solution, which would be, having a bag with you all the time. And then he said, if I don't do that, if I wrestle, a blunt force hit to my belly could kill me. So what do you think about his promo here?
So the promo made me start thinking, I was like, God damn, is that true? Then why are you here? So I got to think, I'm like, that's pro wrestling true, right? I'm going to think, or maybe he did have the surgery already and we don't, you know what I mean? And maybe they're just leaning into it now, right? Or something, but I don't know. So I was a little like, okay. You know, one thing, oddly enough, it sounds scary and it sounds like intense. And when he says that you were 24 hours from dying, what he didn't get into is what were your symptoms that made you go to the, like, how would one know, right? To be one of the lucky ones, Kenny, that were 24 hours from tonight. How do I know? Because Tom's want to figure it out. He tries to tough through it sometimes, right? He's like, I'm fine, right? I'm fine.
And spider bite, who cares? And
maybe you're not fine, right? So, yeah, there could have been that, right? There could have been like a, by the way, get you know what I mean? Eat healthy, get your screenings or whatever. If you feel a weird whatever, right? Like, I don't know, something. But beyond that, of course, right? We don't need to make everything a PSA. But setting the stage again for, I was like, okay, it made me start thinking Kenny Omega is going to be gone for a while too. They're going to, you know, I mean, I kind of called what happened next. I think they're going to come out and beat him up.
Well, one thing that I do know is that the surgery is exactly how he described it. Is
they cut you all the way up. Mm-hmm.
You got a bag, basically. That bag is kind of not predetermined, right? It could be, like you said, 12 months, right. 6 months, your
depends
whole
on,
life,
like, how
whatever.
Much they have to take out, I think, and shit. Right
exactly. So that is a roller coaster as far as like what the next steps are, but that is what you do to get rid of it. Now, here's where, and again, it's pro wrestling and it's fun. I don't want to know, right? Like, it's fucking great. Right. There was another man in the pro wrestling world who had diverticulitis, and he's been wrestling ever since after getting treated for it. And I know he's a super freak, but Brock Lesnar also had diverticulitis.
Did Lesnar get the surgery?
No, I don't think he did. I don't think he had surgery. Now, don't quote me on that, and I'm not going to fact check, but I don't think he did. So I knew, like, okay, there's going to be a time period where he can't do something, but he's coming back if he's going to be on screen. Because I think they would have built this up as like a, he's kicking the show off with an announcement if he was going to retire. But that all led to, at the beginning of Justin Roberts' introduction, he calls Kenny Omega the best bout machine. Well, who was on the other side of that? What was it? 13 stars or whatever it was match, but it was Okada. And so, oh shit, here it is in AEW.
Yeah, he said on American soil, he actually achieved the 7-star match. Well, here's, you know, here's somebody else who didn't dream about.
I said American soil, North American. We're in Canada. But we get the face off. America's hat. And we get the face off. And Okada goes, hey, I'm the best bout machine. And Jack Perry, whop, gives him a how's your father to the back of the head, and we're beating up on Jack Perry. Kenny Omega does the Well, Jack Perry gets beat up, right?
So that's Kenny Omega gets right. Yeah, because Kenny Omega gets the upper hand first, right? Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, and Kenny Omega's like, ha, 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 ha. And then guess what? We take him out, right? Chair shot to the belly. You do it once, EVPs, and I buy it. You do it twice, and then I'm starting to, like, we know. And again, maybe that's the whole point. But the Jacksons,
we know. Stop acting as if, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, hey, that's our friend. And then they do the V trigger. One thing I forgot about to mention in the promo, though, as I kind of talk about the EVPs, is Kenny Omega mentions that he's also an EVP. So the Young Bucks aren't just running the whole show. He's got a say in this as well. So that'll be a fun power struggle. We'll see what that looks like.
Well, but that's what made me think this injury is going to put him out longer, right? So the only last remaining person that could have stopped them is now also incapacitated for a few more months, is where I think they were heading with that.
One thing, though, that I was thinking that he says, Kenny Omega, that maybe he just said flippantly, but maybe it meant something, was when Okada got in the ring, he goes, give me a couple months and we can dance again. And what's in a couple months? All In.
Yeah.
All In Wembley. You do Okada Omega 9, or I don't know how many matches they've had. Huh? Yeah. Could be fun.
Oh my, yeah. Might be 9. Might
and
be
so, nine. Yeah, whatever it is, right? Who's keeping track of matches? Just have fun.
Somebody in here, I can't remember who it said, if anybody could wrestle with a colostomy bag, it's Kenny Omega. The chat.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one. Yeah.
And so they're beating him up, and then the Young Bucks come out. They give him the EVP trigger, and Kenny Omega gets put out on a stretcher. This was low-key one of my favorite moments in AEW. from a heel, and it was really quick. So he's being taken out on a stretcher. Well, what are the... Oh, because FTR chases him away. I forgot about that part. FTR chases him away, and then FTR is walking with Kenny Omega to the back, to the ambulance. He's on a stretcher, Kenny Omega. And then the Elite beat up FTR, and they take him out. They're laying down there. And then Kenny is on the stretcher, and Matt Jackson was like, hey, you know, this is just business. Like, we've got to change the world, right, buddy? That's what we said. And then they flip over the stretcher. But here's my favorite part. They flip over the stretcher. You hear Kenny Omega, and Matt Jackson goes, hey, someone check on him. His stomach, that's probably not good. It's like, you did it.
I know, yeah. Yeah, but that's the, that's, you know, it also fits with the corporate shit heel clown, right? It'd be like, oh, so you guys should fix that problem. Be like, the one you fucking created with your policy and your fucking decisions? Thanks. Like, that. Nah, listen, sorry. I gotta go. We got a golf tournament to hit.
Yeah. Yeah. my time's up here.
Allegedly, you know, not so, for the company I work for now, if anybody's watching. You know, past companies, of course.
Obviously. Someone today, I did an introduction thing about part of the software that I work for and all this stuff, you know. And I don't know who told him, probably Justin, looking at you, Justin, said, hey, Thomas, I heard you do a podcast. What's that about?
Oh, geez.
And I wanted to lie. I wanted to be like, oh, it's All Elite Elite. So then they couldn't find it, right? Because they don't fucking know shit.
Yeah. Give them another name.
It's All Elite. Yeah, and I was
the
like,
Elite
it's
City
all
Podcast. We're good friends over at the Elite City.
Hey,
Podcast.
What's up? Yeah, there.
I'm not on there every week. You may have to watch a couple times. Yeah.
And so I was like, All Elite Wrap Up. And they're like, are you guys on YouTube? I was like, Yeah, we're on all the things. Yep. And they're like, you don't sound that happy about it. I was like, oh, I've done it for 12 years. You know, at this point, we're kind of veterans on this thing, but I was just like,
that still doesn't match when, again, we were doing the Spanish announce table. We were very crass on that show. And I just freshly joined my city's Human Relations Commission, where we advise the city council on matters of human relations, right? So people talking about racial discriminations or, you know, landlord policies, things like that, right? And I was a member of an 11-person committee. And somebody brought up, they're like, oh, you do a podcast? I was like, yeah. And they're like, because we had brought up wrestling or something. So we said that. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, what's it called? And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I cannot have any of these people hear the horrible, disparaging things I've said on in perpetuity on the internet forever. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And that very recent episode is one where we were admonishing Alberto Del Rio when he got fired. For slapping that guy who now in Alberto Del Rio's somewhat defense, this guy made a racial disparaging remark.
Yes.
But he slapped him in the workplace. And that was my point. I was like, I don't give a shit if you're Mexican. Like, you know, you can't, like, because he said something, like, I get it. Like, if you want to fight, like you said, if you want to have a sanctioned fight somewhere elsewhere, fine. But you can't go up in workplace and just start slapping the shit out of the guy because he said something. You take that up with HR, you know what I mean? And here I am ranting. I was like, nobody gives a fuck if you're Mexican. And here I am to the human relations people. And I'm like, no, you cannot listen.
No, you don't know. I am not me. Nope, that wasn't me.
Please do not. So listen, we want you to tell your friends. We don't want you to tell our friends about this podcast.
Yeah, no.
We want you to tell your friends about this.
Your friends need to listen, not ours. No,
not ours. Right.
But yeah, that happened today, and I was just like, I can't talk shit about work now. No. That's cool. Yep. Which I would never.
My boss watches this show awfully, but he, you know,
yeah.
I'll tell my boss everything I think about work, so he doesn't.
Yeah. He's fine. Yeah. But anyone who's coming from work that is listening or watching, hey, you know, I love you guys. You heard me today.
Yeah, of course.
How great he was.
You say nothing but great things every time. You're like, you know what this wonderful person said to me at work today? And then you tell me the wonderful things and how much you appreciated it and how much you thought
they
were really smart. Yeah, and I get jealous. Mm-hmm. You were like, I work with such smart people who understand things the first time. Every time.
Every time.
Every time. Tom loves his job.
All right, so then that was...
We should call this episode Tom Loves His Job.
Well, that was the episode of Dynamite, which then bleeds into Rampage. So let's talk about that. We get a really cool touch here. I mentioned this on Threads, and I wanted to mention it here too. So Daddy Magic takes over for Taz, because now this is Rampage and not Dynamite. But I thought it was good that Matt Menard was somber. He wasn't like, hey, guys, how are we doing? He was like, man, we got kids crying behind me. Like, I thought that was a cool touch. Well,
that's the thing is, yeah, Matt Menard is not a clown to be a clown, right? Like, Matt Menard, he fucking believes his own shit, right? But in that moment, this is serious fucking business. We're not joking around about this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Nothing, you know what I mean? Yep. He's not like trying to be like enticing with a fight. He's like, no, this is bullshit, you know, or whatever, you know, I mean, whatever, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
the sadness of it or whatever, you know, whatever his, you know, ultimate message there was. But, you know, yeah, Matt Menard's another one where I need more of him on my TV.
He was good. He was very good here. But I did want to bring that up because I thought that was a cool touch. Yeah. But then we get into
depth,
and I'm not trying to be mean here, but it was kind of a throwaway match, but it's Switchblade, Jay White. We love Switchblade. Everyone loves Switchblade.
Everybody loves Switchblade. Yeah. Everybody loves Switchblade as much as you love your job.
No, because people really do love Switchblade.
Yeah, like people really do.
No, really do.
Yeah, no, can't even continue the joke on this one. It's not.
That was crazy in St. Louis. If you guys didn't listen back last week when we were talking about our experience at Dynasty, the biggest surprise from Tim and I was the positive, loud reaction that Jay White got when the Bang Bang Gang beat the Acclaimed.
I forget which one he pinned.
I thought it was incredible.
It was Billy Gunn. Second loudest pop of the night. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
it was
Daddy honestly.
Ass, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Jay White beats Dante Martin here. Good match. I think what we're setting up for is Top Flight and Andretti versus Bang Bang Gang. I wouldn't be shocked. Yay. Here's what I'm calling right now. And we'll make our picks when we get closer to the pay-per-view, obviously. I think that's going to be the pay-per-view match, maybe even on the kickoff. I think Top Flight and Action Andretti are going to get the better of the Bang Bang Gang until the juice is loose. And not OJ because he's dead, but Juice Robinson comes out, and I think he rejoins the Bang Bang Gang, and they have that their moment great. At the Double or Nothing.
Can we just? I know the Top Flight guys are brothers, but can we just call them a trio, and they're just all Top Flight now? Andretti's just
part Action of the crew, Andretti like isn't. Yeah, Action Andretti isn't in Top Flight, but yeah, let's just call them Top Flight.
It's all Top Flight now. No, just make it like the New Day. It's any of them can be Top Flight.
Yeah, I know and they're I brothers, what,
but like,
man.
Fuck, come on.
And look. They seem like nice guys, but I listened to them on Hey EW with RJ City. Mm. Let me tell you, they have room temperatures for IQs. It was not bunch of milk drinkers those guys were. Okay. But here they were. They lost to Jay
milk
White.
Drinkers.
Isn't that a great insult?
I love that.
You milk drinker?
A bunch of milk drinkers.
It's so weird, but like it kind of hits.
Because I know exactly what you mean, though. I've known the type, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Solid dude, very nice, very strong. Holy fuck, very athletic, right? Drink a lot of that milk. Love that milk. Protein, man.
Yeah.
That's the protein.
Yeah.
Love that protein.
I got you. Yep, you're a milk drinker. All right, and then Deonna Purrazzo, she's gone full heel. And, okay, here you go. She's like, do you know what happens when you make things personal with a Jersey girl? I hope you never find out. And then does the Sopranos. Like, are we really making Jersey a gimmick? A state isn't a gimmick. I said this at a local pro wrestling show when some motherfucker wanted to be Texas. States aren't gimmicks.
This is why you listen home.
Stop it.
If you have not, you find your local pro wrestling companies, right? Your local indie wrestling companies, and you go to some of these. Because this is where you get a moment, like the best pro wrestling moment I think I might have ever experienced in my life at this event, where there was maybe 200 people here in town. When this guy comes out in cowboy boots, red shorts, a bell, you know, cowbell hanging from a rope around his neck. He's got the Hulk Hogan stash. I think he has chew in his lip, right? Mm-hmm. And they've got a name for him, and he's doing the whole fucking Bradshaw thing. And it's dead quiet in there because that sucks. And nobody's cheering. Nobody's booing. And Tom yells at the top of his fucking lungs unnecessarily loud, Texas isn't a gimmick. Everybody fucking starts laughing. And that motherfucker starts like, who sent? That's the high I don't think I'll ever achieve again in pro wrestling. I got to thank you for that. But that's why you got to go to your local indie wrestling, because you get moments like that. And you don't get that at even AEW sometimes. It's great.
Yeah, but and that's just a PSA for, like, stop it. Stop making your dirt fucking personality. It's not. Stop. It's so dumb.
And you call the one guy Jake the Garden Snake.
Yeah, he looked like one of the fucking Wiggly things. Yeah. If it was Jake the Snake Roberts.
Skinny Jake the Snake Roberts. And so you're like, oh, look, it's Jake the Garden Snake. I called the one guy Thinner Mahal.
Thinner Mahal was great. Thinner Mahal.
Yeah. Go to your local wrestling. You can have fun.
Go to your local wrestling show. They're fun. All right. So Renee Paquette, she's back there with Big Bill. And this is where we get the handshake. All right, we're together here. So the first member of the learning tree for Chris Jericho is Big Bill. So another group for Chris. This is his third group, fourth group. So he had the Inner Circle, then like a bastardized version of it, but I guess we still called it the Inner Circle, like when MJF was in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when they all broke up or whatever, and then the Jericho Appreciation Society, and now the Learning Tree. So dope. All right, then we mentioned Rocky Romero, Kyle O'Reilly. That happened. Then we get another backstage promo. This is where Harley Cameron called out Tiny Storm and Mariah May. And so next week on Dynamite, we're getting Harley Cameron versus Mariah May. And here's what I'll say about this. Harley Cameron is fascinating to me. She's a little bit crazy. She's got a little bit of the Nikki Cross, like, ooh, look at this knife. I might stab someone. But then she's got the, like, I'm pretty, so, like, we're going to go tan tonight. You know what I mean? Or we're going to a club, that kind of stuff. So it's like these little sprinkles of interesting characters kind of all in one. But I don't have enough TV time to really know, like, what she is. So interested to see Saraya and Harley Cameron. Which, by the way, Saraya just now, just over here, I guess. Man, what a fall from grace.
Yeah, I mean, I was worried when she came in that I was like, I don't know if this is going to amount to much. Sorry. This is interesting with the Harley Cameron and Fuck Your Mama Two Times is saying this is Harley Cameron's in-ring debut. Yeah, this one's been intriguing. She's been around. We've seen her. She's delivered some good moments. We had the he's gay chant because of her.
Yeah.
I liked when they were doing that TMZ gimmick thing for a while. I kind of liked her role in that. You know, when they were doing that with the QT Marshall, Cutie, our favorite, our biggest fan.
Cutie. Oh, so sorry, Cutie. Damn it.
You on the show.
It's been a while.
Fuck. Sorry.
We wanted
back on the previous one, Andrew said, this feels like Jericho is getting worked. I think Bill turns when Hook comes back. I don't know about that one. I mean, that would be interesting, but I don't know that we'd get, cause then we got to make Bill face with Hook. And I don't know that Hook needs it at this point.
Yeah. I don't know. This whole learning tree thing, I'm positive and patient. Look, he is overexposed and it's too much. But if I were to say, here's the things that he's done, but there's been 5 weeks in between it, I think we'd all love this. But that it's every single week we see Chris Jericho. We don't even see Kenny Omega or Hangman or MJF or anyone else as much it's as Jericho, we see Chris week. Jericho.
Yeah, for a guy who has a band and other acting games and shit and a podcast. Yeah. It's like, guy, you gotta fucking go home.
Don't you have kids? Go see
don't
them.
You have a wife? Where is she? Where is your wife? Chris, where was she on January 6th? Anyway, never mind.
What? I don't know. Maybe she was somewhere. Then we get the match of the night. This is a TBS Championship Manitoba Massacre match. Champion Willow Nightingale taking on Sky Blue, and son of a bitch, these girls went after it. There was a back dive into a chair, thumbtacks, because you got to have thumbtacks. Sky Blue with red blood coming from her head, And then we get the Dr. Power Bomb, or Dr. Bomb, I guess is what we really call it, into plywood that had barbed wire. And then I read later, took minutes for Sky Blue and her not wearing clothes to get out of the barbed wire.
Yeah.
Like, and, which it was awesome. But maybe Sky Blue, cover your ass and you won't take so much time pulling it out of, you know, your ass out of barbed wire. Crazy concept. But Willow Nightingale gets the victory. What'd you think of the main event? I thought it was awesome, but, you know, don't want to trample
Willow
on your
is another
comments.
One who every time we see her is just gives us something better than she gave us before. Like, Willow is just killing it. And now I want this Willow is hardcore niche, right? This part of her character, let's lean into it more. She doesn't have to always be in a hardcore thing, right? But when things got to get hardcore, Willow's about She's that it. Life. And so we can get Willow in the GCW run. And we can get her out there with Nick motherfucking Gage, the king, the god of this shit. Get her out there with the cookie cutters and the pizza cutters. Let's go to work. Love Willow.
That is still a great idea. A fucking cookie cutter with a pizza cutter from
Nick Gage. She's got
the
MDK, but it's all bubble letters and rainbow. She's got a Tupac bandana, but it's rainbow. Like, just come on. It's so much fun. And she's just bloody.
So much fun.
Light tubing folks with a smile. Love it.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, again, we can make our picks when we get closer to it, but it feels like this is all Mercedes Moné wins her debut kind of thing. But if she keeps on, Willow, that is, puts on matches like this, I don't know if the crowd's going to love that, even if it is Mercedes Moné.
Well, I think maybe we are leaning into Mercedes being a heel for this. I think that's what we are leaning into. I think, as you said last week, we got the kind of the she was being like, let me interrupt this shit and stop this party. Maybe we're getting that. And hey, we did not see her this week, yeah?
Great.
Like, refreshing, yeah. But we saw Jericho.
Don't need it. We saw him twice.
You know what I thought? When I saw it, yeah, twice. And you know what I thought when I saw that?
Aside from my own actions, what did I do to deserve this?
Like, what the fuck? I don't know. It's so great.
Yeah, right. So that was our AEW action. And again, program note, if you made it this far, which I hope you did, Saturday, no collision. We're back next Wednesday for Dynamite.
Dynamite next week. So get us in your emails, aewrapup@gmail.com. Typed out, audio, voicemail, send it to us. We'll talk about it next week. Subscribe to all the things at allelitewrapup.com. And we, I guess, we'll just fucking leave, yeah? Bye.